Hello, good afternoon. My name's Leon and welcome to our next episode of Adam Asks, or should I even say Lockdown Adam Asks. Well, several weeks in fact have passed since we recorded our last pod, and as the government are starting to ease the lockdown restrictions, I thought it would be really useful to chat to an expert on business culture. The expert in question is none other than Mr. Derek Bishop. Good afternoon, Derek. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much, which is a good thing, is being able to respond to that question. I'm well.
Good. Safe, fit and healthy. And
yes.
You and your family all are, obviously. So I'm delighted that you can join me virtually. I'm up in Manchester. I'm looking outside and it's glorious sunshine. I assume in London you've got glorious sunshine as well today.
Yeah, we certainly have. Yep. It's been a nice warm one yesterday and today.
Good. Fantastic. And in fact, you were a guest relatively recently on the podcast, approximately 9 months ago, I think, or thereabouts 9 months ago.
How that time has flown by.
Yeah, and how different it was. If I recall, we were in Adam HQ, quaffing on a couple of gin and tonics.
Absolutely, yes.
So yeah, as you say, how different a world we find ourselves in now, and what a radically different set of both personal and business circumstances we're in. But yeah, so first and foremost, how are you getting on? How are you adapting to this new normal life post COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it brings on a whole level of sort of new agility. So, you know, we've got juggling between, you know, running the business, being a parent, doing homeschooling, then being the playmate, and just the speed at which you need to adapt and between those different roles is quite something to adapt, you know, cope with. So that's there's good sides and challenges around that. Missing physically seeing people, and you know, that's tough going. And as you know, I'm a passionate water skier as well. So the fact that I haven't been able to get out on the lake since it would have opened back in April is a bit of a you know, downside. Yeah. On the upside, you know, spending more time with the family and, you know, having meal times together and things like that I wouldn't normally have done because I would have been traveling. So personally, you know, ups and downs, but overall, you know, good. Just challenging. Yeah. And, you know, from a business point of view, as a business owner, just like yourself, now, it's just, we've had to go through the same things about making sure our people are all okay, that our support our customers in the right way, safeguard the business, and then grappling with the uncertainty, the time frames of the pandemic and the various phases, how the future may shape up. What's the opportunity then for the business? And also, what's the right thing to do here and now? Because there's lots of unknowns and things keep changing. So it's assimilating all that and making decisions and moving quite quickly. And just the sheer scale of that is certainly, you know, gives a lot of, gets the brain cells going extensively.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be great if you could just kick off by giving us a very quick overview and reminding listeners who might have listened to you before, but new listeners, what it is you actually do and what your business does.
Yeah, okay. So here at Culture Consultancy, we specialize in design and embedding cultures within business to support strategy execution, whether that be to support rapid growth, acquisitions, whether there's some sort of business change, whether that be a digital transformation or new operating models like the remote working that many businesses have had to adopt, or just creating those high performance cultures. So it's everything to do with the people dynamics within the business to get that positively aligned culture.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really looking forward to you sharing your knowledge and insights on what is going to be a hugely important topic for all of us and all businesses and business leaders as we start to return to life post-COVID. So, Derek, let me kick off by asking you, how have you seen cultures change after such an unprecedented and impactful few months?
I mean, it's fair to say there's been a huge range of experiences. So we've got some organizations where when I was speaking to them in February, there was quite a firm view from the MD saying, oh, we couldn't do remote working. We don't have the level of trust with our people. We can't manage that, you know, performance. And then I spoke to them 2 weeks ago, which is just over 2 months since my initial meeting with them. And he said, it's absolutely amazing. It's, you know, remote working's working really well. We've reached, you know, and this is the way forward. We're gonna reduce our amount of office. So you've got it, for some, it's been a real enlightenment about the potential. I think some have experienced this, the real focus on a common goal has meant some of the internal politics have just got out of the way. People are like, right, this is what we need to do. But then you've got other scenarios where micromanagement has sort of kicked in because managers maybe have struggle with performance managing people when they can't physically see them in the workplace, or maybe with their performance data that doesn't allow them to manage performance, or certainly they've struggled with having the empathetic conversations with people. So huge range of different scenarios, but what I see is that it really falls down into three sort of categories. Category number one is where your culture has really remained true to the mission or your purpose, vision, and values that you set out. So if you had a really strong culture before, it's enabled you to get through the crisis so far, or maybe even made it even stronger because of the pure intensity of the situation. So you've got scenarios where that, and some of that is just because of the strength of the culture that existed before.
Yeah.
The second category is ones where what I call a sort of a cultural drift and sort of a negative culture drift, in terms of businesses are seeing some negative sort of traits come in, maybe where they've done a rapid transition to the remote working, you know, in its new behaviors are being seen, maybe processes are being broken. Maybe some of the management decision making or management controls have been sidelined. Quality of work or outputs has dropped. So basically, it's, you know, what the culture that existed today previously has sort of, you know, if it was good before, it's gone off course. And some of that is not just employee experience, but the experience that managers are providing as they've maybe dealt with some difficult circumstances, perhaps, you know, furloughing staff, for example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of emotion in it. So I think some have drifted. And then the third category is where actually there's been some level of, yeah, positive drift. So actually what they're seeing in the businesses are some new attributes within their culture that, you know, leaders are thinking, actually, that's really helping us get through this difficult phase. And they're starting to think, actually, what if we had more of this in the future? Or particularly if they're going to pivot the business, you know, actually, we're going to need those sorts of characteristics and behaviors that we didn't have before. So for some, it's untapped, some new behaviors. And, you know, so I've seen lots of things around productivity, you know, people being a lot more curious, a bit more camaraderie, the new levels of agility. And so I think you've got that third camp of somewhere, actually there's some new stuff, positive stuff coming out. Now, what's really interesting is, so we've been doing some sampling across different groups of businesses. And on a session I did last week, you know, I talked about those three scenarios, and the business leaders on that session, you know, 57% said that their culture was in that first category and the culture have remained really strong.
Yeah.
Only 9% said they had the cultural drift, and that lower percentage is a bit more of a theme, thankfully. And then 34% were in the third category of actually we're seeing some new attributes that could be really helpful. So that was from a leadership.
So largely positive then.
Yeah, largely positive. The only thing that that then makes me think about it from a different perspective, because then in a separate session, and this was with HR people for businesses with less than 1,000 employees, you asked a slightly different question about, yeah, how strong are your is your culture embedded in a normal environment, and then what's happened in a crisis. And I used a slightly different scale with them, but in a normal environment, you know, 61% of that audience were saying actually that they agreed or strongly agreed that they had a strong, positively embedded culture.
Yeah.
In a normal environment. But then when it comes to the exceptional and the extreme experience we've had over the last couple of months, actually that percentage reduced from 61% to 38%. And actually there was quite a shift in terms of those who disagreed that their culture had fueled them through them. So The conclusion, you know, from having done the, asked this with different groups and, you know, in terms of leaders and then HR and then staff, is the key thing is that you need to understand what's actually happened in your business. Because as business leaders, we might think it's been all great and yes, there's all this good stuff and the culture is fueled, but our people may be thinking and feeling something slightly different. Yeah. So my, you know, it's positive that we're seeing those, you know, overall, it's a positive thing from a cultural point of view, but we just got to make sure that our people think and feel exactly the same way. So I'd really encourage leaders to understand their staff perspective. I think that's really critical.
Brilliant. And what do you perceive or think might be the risks of businesses in the short, medium, long term with regards to culture?
So I think, yeah, those that maybe have got some negative traits that come through in their culture, that 9%, you know, and hopefully it's less than that, then you absolutely need to address that, because if you allow that to continue to drift, then you're going to end up with multiple unintentional cultures, and that actually is really going to hinder your performance and productivity. So I think the key thing, the risk is that if you let that to drift, you're going to make life harder for yourself at a time when actually we need it. You need to be, your culture to be working for you more, particularly as culture makes up 20 to 30% of your difference in business performance. So think about it from that. Do you need to, you really need to tap into that performance opportunity? Yeah. And I think with so many mixed emotions, thoughts, and you've got some staff that are furloughed, coming, will be coming back in. Some people are working, you know, and some people have grappled, you know, really struggled with remote working. I think we've got to be really clear about making sure that as we move through the various phases going forward, that we do reinforce the culture, whether that be the same one as we had before, or actually a new improved one, because we've got these new attributes that behaviors that we really want to harness. Yeah. So I think the risk is that if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to miss out on the performance opportunity. And if you're pivoting the business or looking to launch new propositions, that's going to be harder unless you really focus on the cultural dynamics, given everybody's personal circumstances they've been through over the last few weeks.
Yeah, okay, great. And just going back to each of those aforementioned scenarios, what should, I guess, we all be doing as business leaders with regards to these? What will the challenges be and how much resistance might there well be?
Yeah, I mean, in the first scenario where, you know, the culture has really helped, then I'd absolutely start with, you know, recognize it and celebrate it. Use it as an opportunity to really reinforce how your values have driven the way you do things. Yeah. And recognize people for their individual contribution, not just in terms of the results or the outcomes they've got, but in terms of the way they've gone about it. You know, if you've got some people that have really been shining lights, you know, recognize that. And because you wanna, it's been a tough period for people and will continue to be so. So celebrate the good stuff that has happened and use it as a reignition of that sort of, yeah, those attributes. I think in the second category, if you've got that negative drift, then you know, go through an exercise with teams to, you know, check understanding around the values and make sure people really do understand what the values are and are engaged with them. And then go through an exercise of, say, with teams identifying, well, where's the gaps about how we're currently doing things versus those values, particularly whilst businesses are going to continue some level of remote working probably. And, you know, what are the gaps and what do we need to do to address those gaps and bring it back in line? So a proactive approach, I think, is key. And then with the third scenario, have they spotted some new behaviors, then I think I would go through an exercise, and again, you can do this with teams, but what are those attributes that we've seen, and what has been the benefit of those things? So what impact has it had on customers? What impact has it had internally? And what might we need more of in future, particularly if you're looking at doing things different, new propositions, or, you know, like I said, pivoting the business, or just new operating model, if you're going to continue remote working on a big scale, or even if it's hybrid, well, what sort of attributes and behaviours do you need? And then sort of going through this exercise, I'm thinking, well, what impact has that had on customers, on suppliers, on colleagues, on partners? And just so that you get some perspective of, actually, these three or four behaviours have made this difference, therefore we need to make the most of those. Because I think that what that will do is that gives you the input to then redefine what your culture is moving forward, because your culture should always be future focused. It's not always about holding on to what's got you to this point. You know, if you're seeing some positive stuff and some new things you're going to need in the future, you absolutely want to revisit and redefine your future culture to make sure that you're going to harness that.
There's never been a better time for us to actually sit back, reflect, and evaluate where our culture is and where it needs, as you say, where it needs to be future focused.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the key, is that about what do you need in the future? So use the insight from the last few weeks of the, you know, the experience, get staff input to the exercise, but really think to what's our strategy going forward, and therefore what's the culture we need to support that strategy. And that might be for the next 12 months, we're going to need this, because there's so much uncertainty. So I think, you know, do it in stages, but you don't forget the things that have gone on over the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's great. That's really, really invaluable advice. Thanks for sharing that. And I guess on the back of the very helpful government job retention scheme, I'm sure that lots of businesses will have furloughed staff, and hopefully many of these will be aiming to, or at least will be returning to work over the coming weeks, as we're all trying to get back to some semblance of normal patterns of living and working, obviously. Yeah. But at the same time, many business leaders will have been looking at how they need to change the business for the future. So my question to you, Derek, is, what are the risks to the business and its culture as people gradually do start to return to work?
Yeah, I mean, I see it as a huge potential of cultural disruption, because every individual staff member's experience over the last few weeks will be slightly different, and some will be vastly different, because that's based on their own personal views, experiences. And some of their own personal experiences would have changed their mindset, their expectations, and also some of their behaviours. So, you know, some people won't behave in the same way that they did before. And I think we've got to be really careful about assuming that people are just going to come back in and just pick up with how we want them to do things without paying attention to the journey that people have gone through over the last few weeks. Some people will be craving to get back into the workplace. Others will be more hesitant, maybe because of their ongoing personal challenges and, you know, continuing to homeschool, caring for vulnerable people, etc. So, and so even if people come back into the workplace, you know, they will be bringing those challenges and stresses with them, and will have their own perspective on what's the reasonable expectation for them from the business. So, you know, in people coming back into the workplace, you're going to have all those different dynamics, mindset, behaviors, thoughts, and actions taking place when, as a business, you want them to get back in, get back in the saddle, and get growing in the direction you need them to as quickly as possible. So there's a big risk that the culture, even if it has been strong, could be disruptive when people come back into the workplace. And yeah, even if it's just, that's just part time in the workplace, I think there's disruption there. So I think those people may also question some of the decisions that have been made and what some of the future is, particularly if it impacts some of their colleagues.
Yeah.
So we have to be very aware of the emotional side of all of this, and the emotions will drive people's behaviours. So we need to be really empathetic to every individual and what journey they're going on, because if we apply a one size fits all, then it won't work, and you will end up with lower productivity. You potentially have, you know, higher issues around engagement. Maybe, you know, you have more sickness issues kicking in. So, you know, all those individual things need to be really considered by leaders and managers to make sure that people re-engage with the business and pick up with what we need them to do in the right sort of way, yeah. respecting that things are going to keep on, you know, things are going to keep on changing as well. That's really difficult. It's not like, okay, here we go, and we're off, and we're not yeah. going to change again. Actually, it's probably going to change every week, every couple of weeks, or definitely every month. So
I also don't know if that once we do start to reintegrate, if there is going to be a second wave, and then the impact that impact and result that's going to have on us having to go back to the to pre-lockdown.
Yeah, That's the thing is, I honestly think that we are going to go through a few waves of this. Yeah. And so, you know, if previous, you know, the lockdown was in effect quite structured. It's, you know, work from home, work remotely. Some people have been furloughed. Some people have gone reverted to part time. Stay home, stay safe. Mm. The picture moving forward, there's a lot more variables, there's a lot more judgment required, and you know, and those things will change. So I think we've gone through a period of quite strict guidelines and parameters. Now that's going to get a lot fuzzier, yeah. And interpretations will kick in. So I think that is where, for me, the real those people dynamics within the business could be really disruptive if we don't provide really strong, empathetic yeah. leadership to people, lots of listening, understand it, and help people, but also give them common goals, etc., about what we're yeah. focused on. So, yeah, if we don't pay attention to that, then we are going to suffer as business leaders, I believe.
It's going to be very interesting to see how businesses do weave this reintegration plan in and make it a reality, see how they do.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and what we can all learn from it, essentially.
Yeah, and so I think for me, you know, I consider it's a bit like an induction plan, you know, a big scale sort of induction plan, a mass onboarding plan, if you like. So it's if you had a lot of people join the business all at the same time with different expectations, if you onboard all those people, you need to align and engage them quickly.
Yeah.
With you know, with your culture and what you're trying to achieve. So one way of looking at it is view this as a re-engagement plan, a bit like an induction plan.
Yeah.
Less focusing on the functional elements of onboarding, but, you know, it's almost like remind people about the purpose, vision and values and illustrate and give people experience around it. It's not just tell them about it. Clarify those short-term goals because things are changing so much. People will want to know, well, what's changed and why, and why I think is really important, because people will be wanting to understand the rationale and thinking behind it, as well as being clear what's expected of them. Yeah, perhaps there's some new norms around how we're going to manage performance, your internal communication, and what the expected behaviors are. And I think, yeah, if you go through that exercise and thinking, well, what's the engagement plan, the re-engagement plan for those people, considering all those things, and what support are we going to provide to them?
Yeah.
Then I think you're starting off from a really strong position. But once you've done that re-engagement, you've gotten back in, that's not it. It's going to require that constant reinforcement and two-way conversation from the managers and leaders to make sure that we're still reinforcing the right things, heading in the right direction, doing things the way we want to, particularly as things will keep changing.
Yeah, just old-fashioned communicate, isn't it?
It is, and the key thing, and one of the phrases we use quite a lot of is engage in conversation.
Yeah.
Because the key thing is it has to be a two-way exercise, and for here, yeah, the listening is as important as giving the answers and the direction, because people feel that they need to, that they want to be listened to, so that we understand their personal circumstances. So I think that's really key, and the support we provide to people is really under the spotlight for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So with regards to that reintegration plan, in order to do it well and execute it well, what do you see as the biggest challenge is preventing that happening?
I think the key for me is around, and it depends on the size of the business as to how much it, but the fact that we're going to go through the various phases, I think we need to set some really clear expectations of, this is the plan for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. Yeah, we'll keep you updated. So keep people on that journey, I think is really key because of that ambiguity. But for me, the direction, the principles, and the communication are the foundation, but managers are the ones that really make a difference here. So, you know, business, as business leaders, we do so much of this communication and we can do it really well, but we need our managers to actually be, you know, play that pivotal role in that re-engagement and re-onboarding. And they will need to lead our people through those difficulties. So yeah. Now, having designed your re-engagement plan, the question I would pose is, do managers have all the right skills, tools, and confidence to effectively lead this transition phase?
Yeah.
Because it's going to get more complex and they're going to need to be able to lead with a certain amount of ambiguity, be confident with that. They're going to need to be able to manage performance without micromanaging them, and, you know, perhaps using a lot more judgment and not relying on data they've had before. They're going to need to really balance that performance and human sort of conversation.
And I guess an increased level of authenticity, if that is a phrase that actually works, but just by, as you say, just be a human, be understanding, be empathetic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost, and when you are communicating, yeah, you know, it's almost like communicating with soul. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, it's gonna.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah.
That's why you're the expert. Shut up, Leon. Listen, yeah, to Derek.
So, but it's about doing that. But it's also, it is authenticity, and it's about also being prepared to have some difficult conversations. You know, it's not going to be easy. It's a question of, for managers, this places a huge emphasis on them, because they're going to also, many businesses will be innovating and they're going to need to deliver for the immediate needs, but also developing some new stuff for the future. And how, as managers, do we manage that? So I think, you know, the managers play that key role, and they have to sort of balance that physical and emotional well-being, and creating that psychological safety in their teams for it to be okay for people to say, I'm struggling with this,
yeah,
or this has happened, and for them to not feel that might be held against them,
yeah,
particularly if there is uncertainty about whether, you know, all furloughed staff will return to the business, you know, if there's questions about will some people be made redundant. It's sensitive stuff, and we shouldn't avoid those conversations, and people will be concerned about their colleagues in the other team or the other department or whatever, and what's happening to them. So, you know, managers being able to communicate and lead through with that ambiguity, but doing it from a very human point of view, and making those judgments and decisions when their facts and figures aren't there and it requires a lot more intuition, is really key. And we're going to need them to take responsibility to effectively lead their teams in a very challenging environment. Perhaps, like I said, more challenging than the last few weeks. So, you know, my encouragement is, great, have the engagement plan, but really just like, do you need to just provide a little bit of development, support, or, you know, something for your managers to make sure that they can lead their teams effectively in the way that we need them to really motor forward and take the opportunities that are going to come out the other side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've got a little hunch that I think you and your business are going to be very busy over the coming months, helping guide businesses of all shapes and sizes through this reintegration plan. Because I think obviously you've got lots of insights to share and lots of great advice to share. Derek, I think we've probably covered off most of the points there. But have we missed anything out? Is there any one last overriding sentiment or piece of advice that you'd like to share with the listeners that we might have forgotten?
I mean, in summary, I'd say human beings are the most complex component in any business.
Yeah.
Because of the diversity of perspectives, views, opinions, behaviors, attitudes, and I think, you know, what's happening over the last few weeks will fuel all sort of different sets of emotions and challenges. So my encouragement is think human, and think about that empathetic, exemplary leadership that we need to provide. We owe it to our people to provide them with really strong leadership, but it needs to be empathetic.
Brilliant. That is a fantastic way to round off the podcast. Derek, firstly, a massive thank you from me. Thank you so much for not only your valuable time, but also your many invaluable insights and points of view that's really going to help us all and benefit us all over the coming weeks. As always, we will share your contact details and social media handles when we do publish. But could you share what your website address is if listeners are very keen now to head straight over there to pick up the conversation with you?
Yeah, it's cultureconsultancy.com.
So there we go. Brilliant. Simple as that. Derek, once again, thank you so much. I hope you continue to keep busy and stay fit and healthy, both you and your family. And I hope to be able to see you soon and buy you a pint in person. So thank you.
No, thanks very much. Pleasure to join you as always, Leo.
Great. Thanks, Derek. Take care.
Thanks. Cheers.